Even as we sit here very still, we're on the move. We're sitting on a planet that rotates around its axis, revolves around the sun. The sun, in turn, is revolving around the center of the Milky Way. And the Milky Way is on the move, all very fast. We're hurtling through space. So even when we're still, we're not really still. The same applies to the mind. You can be sitting here very still with the mind focused on the present moment. But the present moment keeps changing. The present moment you were focused on just a few seconds ago, that's gone. The mind is leaning in different directions. As the Buddha said, based on the thoughts that you encourage in the mind, it's going to lean in that direction. You bend the mind in a particular direction. It can be skillful or unskillful. So the fact that it's bent is not necessarily bad. You want to bend it in the right direction. But the Buddha gives some examples of what the wrong directions are: thoughts of sensuality, thoughts of ill will, thoughts of harmfulness. These bend you in the wrong way. You're heading in the wrong direction. Thoughts of renunciation, non-ill will, i.e. goodwill or equanimity, harmlessness, compassion or equanimity. Those bend you in a good direction. They're the four wrong courses. When you're biased because of favoritism, or biased because of antagonism, biased because of delusion, or biased because of fear, those are directions you don't want to go. Whereas if you develop the treasures of the mind, virtue, conviction, a healthy sense of shame, a healthy sense of compunction, learning, generosity, discernment, these things lean the mind in the right direction, even more so than the Noble Eightfold Path. And why do you want the mind to lean? Well, think of a tree. There are trees that are leaning over all the time because they've been subjected to so much wind. You go to the north rim of the Grand Canyon, at the very edge of the cliff, you see these huge juniper trees that look like they've been blasted for centuries, all leaning over away from the wind. You go up to Powell Point, there are bristlecone pines leaning over very far. Those have been there for centuries. If you were to cut them, you'd know exactly which direction they'd fall. And that's the Buddha's image. You practice the Eightfold Path, you develop the mind in the Eightfold Path. It's like a tree that leans to the east. No matter how you cut it, it's going to fall to the east. That's a mind that's been consistently on the path. Our problem is we're not consistent. Sometimes we're on the path, sometimes we wander off in different directions. It's like a tree that's standing straight up. Some of the branches go north, some of them go east, some of them go west, some go south. You don't really know, if someone were to cut that tree, which direction it would fall. You'd have to cut it very carefully. If you wanted it to go to the east, you'd have to cut it very carefully to make sure. But the events of life are not necessarily careful. Great shocks can come, hardships, like the lockdown on the pandemic. It's like a stress test. And if your mind has been heading in all sorts of directions, you don't really know which direction it's going to fall. Particularly at death, that's the big shock. You'd like to have a mind that you can guarantee it's going to fall in the right direction. But death can come very quickly. Sometimes you don't have your wits about you. Other times it comes so slowly it's worn you down. So while you're strong enough, you want to develop the qualities of the path and maintain that sense of one direction. So you're not wandering off in lots of different directions all at once. One of the reasons why we develop concentration is we're training the mind to hold on to one direction. Some people think that when you sit in the present moment, you're outside of time. But that's not the case. The present moment is moving. It is time. And as the mind moves through time, what direction is it going in? It's going to the future for sure, but is it going to a good future or a bad future? That's where you have choice. This is why the Buddha said it was so important that we realize we do have these choices and they really do make a difference. The principle of karma was so important that members of other sects came to ordain. And they came from a sect that denied karma. They had to stay for a long probation to test them, to see if they really had a change of heart. Because the type of people who don't want to believe in the power of their actions are hard to trust. They could say anything, do anything, think anything, because they think they don't have any real consequences. I remember reading a piece by someone saying that that's what it means to live in an enlightened age like ours. We realize that there's nobody passing judgment on us. So we're free to do what we want, free to be irresponsible, basically. And they wanted to bring that teaching into the Buddhist teaching, where it really doesn't fit. Because the Buddha says we are responsible for our choices. They do make a difference. So when you're training the mind, you're trying to teach it to lean in one direction and not send out branches in all sorts of other directions. So that no matter how it's cut, this tree will fall to the east. So try to stay with one object, stay with one intention, and plow through any hindrances that would come up. And as you leave meditation, try to maintain that same sense of direction. Because it's all too easy to think, well, now that I'm out of concentration, I can entertain my thoughts, the ones that I had to say no to while I was formally sitting. But that's like sending a branch out in the opposite direction. So your tree is not nearly as certain as it would be if it was going in just one direction. So we are leaning as we go through time. You want to make sure you're leaning in the right direction. And you do that by being very careful about your thoughts. And the things that appear in the mind, those are the results of your past karma. But what you choose to focus on, what you choose to feed on, what you choose to encourage. All too often a thought comes into the mind, we treat it like a little package, a potential present. What's in here? We open it up. And then we fall into the box. You have to stay outside the box. In other words, look at the process by which the thought is formed. Look at the process by which decisions are made around the thought. And that helps prevent you from falling in. If it's something you want to go with, you see it's going in the right direction, okay, go with it. But even then, you have to make sure it keeps steered in the right direction. When it's arrived at where you're meant it to go, okay, get out. To change the analogy, don't be the sort of person who goes online and says, well, what's up there today? You want to go and you have something in mind, you want to find out, you get it and you get out. It's like going to a store. The wise way to go into a store is not say, gee, what's on sale today? You have an idea, a clear idea of what you want, you go get it and you get out as fast as you can. That's how you should treat your thoughts, the skillful ones. As for the unskillful ones, you don't go into the store at all. Because the thoughts that you go with are bending your mind. So when something comes up, ask yourself, is this really in line with the path? Or am I wandering off into the jungle? If it's in line with the path, okay, that's a good way to be bent. That's a good way to lean. So when the events that come up that would cut the tree down, you can be sure which direction it's going to fall. That's when you really can be secure.